Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. On three legs this morning, Senator Jim Rice from District 10 comes in on a cane, had hip replacement surgery 3 weeks ago, and you are moving great.
Well, thank you, Paul. I feel a lot better.
And yet, you had a proxy there for a while, too, didn't you?
I did. My middle daughter, Sarah, filled in for me for 2 weeks.
That's great. Does she want to be in the legislature, too?
Actually, she doesn't. She's more interested in health care.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. Being a motorcycle rider, I'm just going to start out with something a little easy this morning. Anti-motorcycle profiling legislation has cleared the Senate Judiciary Committee on a voice vote after motions to kill the bill or amend it both died for lack of a second. The bill's already gone through the House. House Bill 123 now goes to the full Senate. What does this do? And the main reason I bring this up is because of the picture of all of the motorcycle gang members, whatever you want to call them, jamming the halls of the legislature. That's quite a scene, huh?
Well, it's quite interesting. We had a lot of folks there yesterday in the halls, and they actually overflowed the hearing room. But what the bill really does is it just serves as a reminder that you can't profile for, you know, the jackets or things like that just because somebody's obviously in a motorcycle club. There's all sorts of motorcycle clubs, including veterans groups, do some really good things, but it becomes a training tool more than anything else.
But if the back of the jacket happens to say Hell's Angels, even then,
my dad had a case with an Oregon license plate that said Chronic, K-R-O-N-I-K, which tends to indicate support for drug use, marijuana.
Right.
And the police in one of our counties pulled the guy over for the license plate. And that's a free speech issue. Well, the name on the back of a jacket is a free speech situation, and you can't pull people over for speech. That case my dad had the magistrate threw out because speech isn't probable cause to pull somebody over unless they're saying, I just committed this crime. Well, that might be a good reason to ask him about it, but that's not the case with a jacket that just has a name, even if it's something like Hell's Angels.
Yeah, and Senator, if some senator said, I don't know if you were one of them or not, that if you haven't passed an anti-profiling bill, basically you're admitting there is profiling.
I don't think that it's necessarily an admission that there's profiling in any particular case. But what happens is that and most officers do not profile, vast majority. Every once in a while you'll get somebody that will. And frequently that's a training issue more than anything else. But the vast majority of officers never had and never will.
That's something I've been curious about in traffic because you'll pull up behind somebody and maybe they'll have a marijuana leaf as a window sticker. And I think, wow, I wonder if they get pulled over a lot.
Yeah, they generally aren't going to get pulled over any extra. But it's free speech, First Amendment. You can't pull them over for having that marijuana leaf in their window.
Gotcha.
On their red sports car, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm just saying some things don't seem like such a smart idea. Let's talk about boats. We still have boat inspections, and I guess we're going to have them a little more intense now, right?
We are. We're expanding the hours. In fact, if you were to look at the Department of Agriculture budget, you'll see that it's increased much more than you would normally see an increase in a budget for an agency. That increase is for boat inspections for zebra and quagga mussels.
Yeah.
These originate in the Black Sea area. They came over in ballast tanks on freighters and have spread throughout much of the United States. In fact, the only major basin that doesn't have them is the Columbia Basin. We're in the Columbia Basin. We don't want them. They damage fish. They damage spawning grounds. They damage dams. They damage all sorts of things.
Almost anything that's in the water.
Anything in the water. Yeah. And that's a huge problem. We value our water. We value our hydroelectric power. We value our irrigation systems. We value the fishing opportunities we have in Idaho. All of those things would be put at risk if we got them here. And so we're trying to be proactive and keep them out.
What else is going on in the Senate Agricultural Committee right now? I know that's your committee.
Well, that's the big issue. We try and keep things down in that committee. There has been some concern over Japanese yew,
mm-hmm.
With the death of some antelope and elk and deer. It's a poisonous plant.
Right.
I've encouraged people and helped some people with knowing how to go about getting the rulemaking process started on taking a serious look at that. And I think that will happen over the interim with the Department of Agriculture.
I have one of those trees in my backyard, and it basically came over from next door where they had a bunch of them along the fence. And I don't know what to do with it. It's about 10 feet tall now, but my backyard is fenced. So,
and that helps.
Yeah.
I've seen deer jump through holes in a fence that were about
and we do have deer in my
foot area. By a yeah. foot. So,
yeah.
But they are poisonous to animals mm-hmm. and to people. And so it's something that should be looked at.
Yeah. And I think my wife's going to make sure we don't have it at the end of the summer. KBOI News Time, 8:45. Final check of traffic coming up.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:50. It is Majority Thursday on News Talk 670 KBOI. Our guest is Senator Jim Rice from District 10 in Caldwell. With health care right now, almost every state is just waiting to see what the federal government is going to do about Obamacare, right?
That's true. None of us know.
Yeah.
I don't think Congress knows what they're going to do yet. I think it's going to be – we'll probably go home before they figure out what they're going to do in the Idaho legislature. Anyway.
Congress does not seem to be of one mind right now.
Well, they're seldom of one mind.
Exactly.
Maybe it's because of the number of lawyers, because if you have one lawyer, you get one opinion. If you have two, you get four.
That's how I do math, too, yeah.
That is so true. Well, biggest holdups between now and sine die, budgets always seems to be budgets.
The budgets, I think, are going fairly smoothly this year. There are a couple of big issues. One of the big issues that we're working on and trying to come up with a solution, we have a serious problem on I-84 in Nampa from Franklin to the Karcher Interchange, and then the other section is Karcher Interchange to Caldwell. We also have a few other places in the state with some serious need, and we're looking at taking some of and doing another round of Garvey funding to catch at least part of those projects. One of the areas that we're thinking we can get done is that Franklin to Karcher widening that really needs it.
Widening and filling in the holes.
Now, the filling in the holes, there is $14 million that this summer they're going to actually resurface that whole section. But you're talking a 10-year fix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so we're hoping that we can get a plan and things together so that we can actually address those more permanently.
How tough is infrastructure in this state when we have so few people in so big a state? A lot of roads, a lot of bridges for not very many people.
That's one of the real difficulties, and it's a difficulty for all of the states, especially that have large amounts of federal land. We end up with a lot of miles of road that are through areas that there's no revenues from of any kind. And we don't get the revenues from even the federal logging contracts or things like that. And so it becomes difficult. But this year's especially been a problem because we had all of this snow, and we've had bridges wash out and roads in areas, a lot more potholing throughout the state. There's actually some funding for that that's working its way through.
What kind of progress is being made in the legislature about taxes, for instance, grocery tax?
You know, it's hard to say because there are certain roadblocks for getting the grocery tax heard. There is some opposition. It tends to not be from parts. The opposition tends to be from parts of the state that really aren't affected by it. Because we have a western border of the state that Washington and Oregon do not tax groceries.
Right.
That creates a competitive disadvantage, and so you find most of the grocery stores and most of the stores that sell both groceries and other things located across the border. And that hurts us economically, as well as the fact that we created the grocery tax credit to try and get to eliminating the grocery tax. So now we're getting the worst of both worlds because we collect the tax, so we drive away the economic benefits, and then we don't get the benefit of the revenues because we give it back. We need to shift to the policy of not taxing groceries because we'll get the benefits of not doing it.
Are things pretty peaceful right now in the Senate? Because apparently they aren't in the House.
You have a different dynamic in the two bodies.
Right.
The Senate, we tend to really stress and really try to work on being friends regardless of differences of opinions on bills. We don't see any arm twisting. We don't see as much grandstanding, but it's that way every year.
It's more of a veteran group, right?
Yeah. We never got the huge turnover with new people that the House got, because when we had the big turnover in the Senate, most of the new senators came from the House. The House got all new people. And so there wasn't the same level of mentoring. It creates a lot of it's more like herding cats in the House.
Yeah, they're doing things like trying to vote on blocked bills and things that are just a little strange.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's things you can get upset sometimes if your bill doesn't get out of the committee or you know you're not going to get a hearing, but you've got to work with people.
Yeah.
And you have to work with people in both bodies. There's great people in the House. It's just that with 70 people, you'll get a little more of the fight than you will with 35.
When we're getting out of town.
Well, the goal is the 24th.
Still.
And a lot of us are hopeful, so we'll see what happens. It could go over. A lot depends on how things go in the House.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator Jim Rice, from District 10, Chair of the Agricultural Affairs Committee, has been our guest. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We're going to have a news break at the top of the hour. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All righty. KBOI News Time, 9:06. Chris has been called out.
Oh, I have,
been
actually.
Been called out,
yeah.
Shaken up, abused, misused,
not
and confused.
Not shaken up, not confused, but the other things are probably true. Curtis just wrote in to say, and I was talking, you know, we were talking with Senator Jim Rice.
Right.
And he was saying that the police are officially not allowed to profile motorcycle, I don't know whether it's gang members or club members or whatever.
Yeah, you know, colors. You can't, they call them colors.
Yeah, you can't
they're flying the colors. They're not allowed to profile.
You can't just pull over somebody because they're wearing, a colorful jacket.
Brother Speed jacket.
Brother Speed,
Hell's
anybody.
Angels,
Hell's Angels,
whatever.
Dragons, whatever the rest of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that I've always wondered about that. I really wasn't making a speech so much as I was just kind of pondering that I have pulled up in traffic before behind somebody who had a marijuana sticker in the window of their car. It was a window sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought to myself, I wonder if they get pulled over a lot. Now, it wasn't a judgment call. I'm just saying that, okay, first of all, I don't smoke marijuana, but if I did, since it is illegal in the state of Idaho to do so, and since we have not yet legalized it, as other states have, I believe that I would not want to advertise that fact. I'm just saying, and no, you can if you want. If you want to fight the good fight, if you want to fight it, then feel free. That's okay. But here's what Curtis wrote. He says, so, Chris, your opinion of me having a marijuana leaf on the back of my car in support for the legalization is not smart? Why, it's free speech. Didn't you guys just say that so you're making a judgment call that I'm not smart because I have it on my car? It seems like what you're saying is because of that I can get pulled over by a cop because it's on the back of my car. That's definitely profiling. Yes, it is. Now, all I'm saying, I'm just going to tell you about me. I don't want to take a chance. Now, I'm not doing anything illegal as far as I know every day, but if I were, I wouldn't want to take a chance by advertising it on the back of my car, even if it happened to be a joke or something.
But you are indeed a cautious person.
Well, compared to a lot of people, yes, I am.
Well, so you don't want to, even if you're only adding a 2% chance more of being pulled over, you don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, still too much. I mean, believe me, I've been pulled over I've been pulled over at midnight three different times in Boise simply because I was in an area where they were pulling over people for suspicion of drunk driving.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had a drop of anything in any of those nights, and so they just told me that, you know, well, one guy told me it looked like I took a wide turn, you know, and I thought, well, okay, if you say so. I don't think I did. There was a car parked there, you know, I didn't want to hit that. But,
yeah.
But you know, another guy told me that it looked like my front tires were wider apart than my back tires, which I thought was a strange excuse. But again, it was just midnight and it was near the college, and chances are you're going to pull over a few drunk drivers there. So I didn't really mind that, even though that's kind of profiling.
Yeah, uh-huh. Young guy in a car.
Yeah, let's put it this way. The older I get, the less I get pulled over.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that you can't do that. And more power to you if you want to legalize marijuana. Feel free to speak out. Feel free to vote for it. Feel free to put that sticker on the back of your or on the window of your car.
Basically what you're saying
fine.
Is
I
wouldn't do it.
I have absolutely no judgment. Smoke it if you want to. I really don't personally care. I'm just saying that I wouldn't do it because right now it still is illegal in Idaho. And I'm just guessing that, you know, I mean, if you had to guess, if you looked at two cars, one of them had a sticker and one of them didn't, and you said, which one of those guys probably has marijuana? Well, there are clues, aren't there?
Yeah, and a lot of people put a lot of stuff on their cars that basically say what they're about.
Well, yeah, which I don't do because, you know, I'm not. Okay, you've ridden with me a lot.
Sure.
Am I the best driver in the world?
Slowest.
Okay, yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
And that makes people mad anyway, so I don't want to add something to the back of my car that makes them even more mad.
Yeah.
Like road rage type stuff.
Like a triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, but that's we can just get me. Into
that's
traffic
just me.
And talk about
that's
that.
That's just me. And, yeah. So, you know, I always get these letters saying, you're just too scared to do this. Well, as a matter of fact, I am a little too scared to do certain things, which I consider to be risky and stupid.
Well, and it's a known fact.
But on the other hand, I know a lot of people who have terrific memories and funerals and stuff like that, and I just don't want to do that.
It's a known fact that red sports cars get pulled over more often than minivans.
True.
Of any color.
True.
And it's
and there are some white panel vans out there that really should be pulled over.
Well, and the deal is, if you want to buy a red sports car, it's not stupid to buy a red sports car. It's great to buy.
No, in fact,
if you like red sports cars, great.
They can be quite lovely.
But one of the problems you might have is if you're doing 38 miles an hour, like you said.
Well, yeah.
You might get pulled over, they might let the minivan go.
If I'm driving a well-maintained sedan and I'm going 38 and a 35, a cop can follow me for miles and probably do nothing. If I've got a sticker that says, I hate cops, I might not make it out of town. And again, free speech is fine, but there are risks that come with free speech. There are definitely risks that come with any kind of civil disobedience. But if that's the route you're going to take, you have to be aware of those risks and you have to be willing to take them.
And profiling is profiling. I mean, it is. And we all do it, whether we want to admit it or not.
And sometimes It's simply that little voice inside of your head saying, let's leave. Let's leave right now.
Yeah.
And as we, you told your kids, I've told mine the same thing. Follow that voice.
If it doesn't feel right,
listen to
get
it.
Get out of the room.
Listen to it. Even call us. We don't care. Just, you know.
Yeah. Let's go to Randy in Magic Valley. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. This fallacy of profiling, you know, because of certain, basically, racial discrimination. The police have been taught forever, and basically still are taught that, you know, you use a, when you see somebody, you the police are taught to observe some things that are out of place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's if it, you know, if it looks, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck,
quacks like a duck,
then you just can't ignore that you're looking at a duck just because, you know, maybe it's the wrong colored duck. And so the thing about, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, but, you know, in and around the wrong people, that has always been, you know, in New York used the stop and frisk, which is basically, that's profiling.
Sure.
But it's based on reasonable and rational. The Supreme Court, you know, has said that it would arouse any reasonable person's suspicion, and that's the basic measurement for how the police operate.
Yeah, but if you're one of those guys that consistently gets stopped, and you're not doing anything wrong, it's got a grate on you.
Yeah,
just
you know,
because
Paul,
you fit the profile.
Yeah, but Paul, that's just blown out of proportion. I mean, that.
Well, it depends, you know, on how often it happens.
Well, it depends on you know where you live too. You know, if you live in the Bronx, you know, these people are known. A lot of the criminal element, they're not strangers to these people. They deal with them all the time. You know, so it's blown out of proportion and it's magnified to where it's become unreasonable, you know, to even use the measurements that the Supreme Court set down decades ago as far as stop and frisk, you know, and it's very effective. You know, the crime rate went down drastically in New York when that was used. And you know what? It always seems to me that the law-abiding people who want to walk down the street, go about their business, they don't complain a lot about that. Look at the people who are complaining about it. It's usually the criminal element. You know, they're tired of being picked on. Well, you know, when you choose that lifestyle, you know, to interfere with other people's
lives.
Well,
yeah, but if you're a black guy wearing a, you know, black pants and a black hoodie to work and you get stopped 3-4 times a month, I mean, you're not choosing a lifestyle there. You just, I mean, you can't help it because you might look like some other people just because, you know, you want to dress in the norm or whatever. It's got a grade on you to keep getting stopped when you haven't done anything wrong.
Right, right. I mean, admittedly, but I still think that's a very, 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 very tiny, 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 tiny percent, maybe not even a percentage of people that have that complaint. You know, driving while black, I mean, you know, most police don't, you know, it's become so hard for them that a lot of them, you know, even avoid going to those places. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
They basically stepped down and said, well, if I do take action, you know, so all this stuff is amplified and magnified. You know, it's a very, very tiny percent of people who have these so-called complaints about profiling, you know, and it's very effective. It works very good to prevent crime. So, you know, and it's not against the law. It's not unconstitutional.
Yeah. We got to run, Randy. Yeah, we're way late for a break. It's 9:17.
Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:22. KBOI Rewards Code Profile. 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 Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter profile. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points. On to the phones and Jim of Boise. Jim.
On the subject of attracting cops, a few years ago in downtown Boise, I saw parked not only a red sports car, but But on this red sports car, the license plate was Thief, T-H-I-E-F.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
I know whose car that was.
Really?
Who used to call him? It was a radio time salesman.
Oh, is that right?
Thief. If I think about it,
I've seen the car. I
hope it was supposed to be ironic.
I sure, you know, the guy either was, well, I must have had a lot of guts, I guess.
We got a radio time salesman here named Crook. We do.
Well, good old, thank you much.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Again, though, just a coincidence.
Yeah, that doesn't help, though, having that license plate number. Let's go to Steve.
Maybe he's a thief of hearts.
Steve of Boise. Steve.
Good morning. You know, every one of us discriminates.
Oh, no question.
Every one of us,
there's no doubt about it.
And every one of us profile. We look at somebody and think, okay, they could be a nice person. I might get to know them. I might not. You know, what is a shame is that our government comes in and tries to take away our perception of things and how we think. You know, the government even does this in a lot of their things. In fact, it's gotten so bad that they do the reverse, trying to promote what they're against. The EEO, I watched as that whole scenario played out. And there's a lot of people that were victimized by reverse discrimination. And it just, you know, instead of trying to, you know, do the negative of things, why don't we do the positive of things? Some people want to be hurt. They become victims. I mean, some of this.
There are
in Spokane
professional victims. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
You know, and then when the government pays them to do it, and they continue to do it. You know, isn't the goal of government to improve the society rather than make it worse? And I would think that they would hang the carrot out there. But, you know, for a while, if you hang that carrot out there, they'll keep eating the carrot and they'll be dependent on you.
It's a good theory on government. I suppose that could be what they're trying to do.
You think?
Well, I wish they would just be neutral and do what they were supposed to do. We wouldn't have to have so many of them and so much of it.
Yeah.
And then we could all become good citizens, in my estimation. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Instant message.
Kumbaya. And I don't agree with everything that he said there.
Instant message from the disgruntled vet who said, now apparently he was a policeman. He says, when I wanted to pull someone over, I just followed them until they made a mistake. It will happen. It always did. And see, well, and this is the...
And they get nervous knowing you're behind them.
That's true. I don't mind, I suppose, I don't mind getting a speeding ticket if I know darn well I'm speeding or if I've done something that I know I wasn't supposed to do in traffic, you know, and was trying to get away with it. That's one thing. If you make a mistake and get a ticket, I don't know, that's, you know, I think that tends to burn you up a little more.
Yeah, it does indeed. KBOI News Time, 9:26. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, tinkling the ivories, big, tiny, little junior Chris.
We had some records.
Why in
we
the world some, I thought of him.
We had some records from big, tiny, little. That's funny.
Yeah, big, tiny, little.
Dave of Boise says, things have definitely changed as far as getting pulled over. You are still at risk of getting pulled over for having a pot sticker. Not the kind you'd be getting at a Chinese restaurant, a different kind. But not as much as it used to be. Some are same with profiling, long hair on guys, tattoos, etc. The last excuse the police used on me was no mud flaps. In the time it took the officer to write my ticket for no seatbelt, I counted 5 trucks much higher with bigger, more aggressive tires and no mud flaps at all.
Chris still wins.
It's a form of entrapment when they pull you over for a ridiculous reason and then give you a ticket for something else. I have had that one ticket in 20 years of driving, excuse me, every day. So I think they just like to snoop around whenever they can.
All right, tell them about your ticket, Chris.
Dave of Boise.
Chris Chris got a ticket one time. Mm-hmm. For having the year on his license plate in the wrong place.
Okay, you know on your license plate,
really?
Every year they send you the tags, and you can put them on your license plate that indicate that you've paid your fees for that year.
Put them in the lower right-hand corner.
Well, years ago, in fact, when I first started driving, years ago, you would put even years in one corner, and then you put the odd year in the other corner. That they just did that years ago. You'd put them in the two bottom corners
of your
license plate. And then at some point they changed that to where you have to put them in the lower right corner. Well, I was not aware of that, and I had my sticker on my license plate, but it was in the lower left corner instead of the lower right corner.
You're going to jail for a long time, boy.
No, but it did cost me $56.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, they always tell you that ignorance is no excuse.
See, that would be worth $56 to me so I could whine about that for the rest of my life. You don't whine about that nearly enough.
Well, I know.
Let's go to John of Napa. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I've got a weird stat for you, and I never have figured out the whole story behind this, but I do not, I'm not a theory of, what's that called in your
conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy theorists. I don't know what's wrong with my tongue today. But I got pulled over 11 times in 3 months back in 1986.
Four?
I don't know. I got two tickets out of that, and neither one of them did I have to pay. One of them was for not having insurance. Well, I had insurance. I just couldn't find it in my glove box.
Yeah, right. Didn't have the car. So okay.
I got off work at 1 o'clock in the morning during that time. So that was probably part of the problem.
Part of it, yeah.
And I was driving a black 1979 Z28. That might be part of the problem.
I'm sure that's, at 1 o'clock in the morning.
And I think that particular car had some background history because I got pulled over 3 times by ISP, and I have never been pulled over before or since that car.
Seriously?
Seriously, by the Idaho State Police. Never have. So, the two tickets I got out of, because one was for the insurance, and I had it in the glove box, and just couldn't find it for all the crap that was in there. And I scooped up the whole thing and took it to my house 1 o'clock in the morning and spread it out in front of the fireplace and found my insurance and walked back out and stuck it in there so that'll never happen again and threw the junk away. And I got stopped a couple of weeks later, and I couldn't find my license. Well, I had taken it and thrown it in the trash, so I had to dig it out of the trash and go to the courthouse and show my insurance, show my ID, and didn't have to pay for the tickets. But I still got stopped, that's just 2 out of the 11 times.
So that's a pretty good stat. You had a black sports car, 1 o'clock in the morning, got pulled over 11 times, then you sold the car?
No, it just stopped happening.
Oh, they finally figured out you weren't who they thought you were.
Well, and that's what I think. I bought it used, and I think it had some history behind that.
I bet you're right.
That's why the state police, state police officer is on Caldwell Boulevard in Caldwell twice. I got stopped by the same one at 1 o'clock in the morning. So he was looking for that car for some reason, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it just stopped happening when they found out I wasn't that guy.
That's amazing.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, good story.
Disgruntled vet wrote back in, and I said apparently
he was a cop.
He was a police officer. And he said, when I wanted to pull someone over, I just followed them until they made a mistake. It will happen. It always did. And I said something about getting a ticket. And he says, I didn't say ticket them, but if someone was suspicious, a mistake is a reason to stop them.
Right. No, I get you. So
yeah.
Stop them. Check
well,
them out.
And they still have, police, but let's put it this way. Police still have to do police work.
Yes.
Which is more than just, just waiting until somebody does something illegal and then pulling them over. You have to kind of watch what's going on.
Yeah. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I won't comment on what Steve said because, frankly, I don't know what the hell he was talking about. But when Randy called in earlier, his versions of the statistics on that stop and frisk in New York, I mean, they were just made up. The Supreme Court looked at all that stuff, and they determined that was unconstitutional because it was mostly blacks, and most of the people who were stopped didn't get arrested. They were just searched and let go. That was another reason that they said it was wrong. And the crime rate hasn't gone up since they quit doing it, so it wasn't even effective. But, I mean, the Supreme Court, that's why they said they couldn't do it. They looked at all those, they looked at all those numbers and statistics compiled up over these years and said that it was profiling, it was prejudice, and it wasn't effective. That's why New York can no longer do it.
Yeah, and like I said, if you fit the profile, it doesn't matter how good a citizen you are, and you get, you know, or got stopped three, four times a month, after a while you're going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah, the profile was pretty much black. I mean, because listen, if somebody's moving drugs for a gang and they're stopping that, all those gang members who are wearing those colors, they'll get somebody, they'll just put somebody in different colors, a younger person, to do it. I mean, it's just like with prohibition and everything. But one of the things when you're talking about the stickers, I had a nephew down in Twin Falls that had a great big marijuana leaf sandblasted into the back window of his car. And I mean, he was in his early 20s. His parents, and God, they're just going, oh, they're just shaking their heads. I mean, and the thing was, he was always getting pulled over anyway, so I don't know if the marijuana leaf, but when I saw that, I just gone, you know, I mean, it looked kind of cool, and it was a really nice job, whoever did it. It wasn't that, but I just looked at it, and I'm just shaking my head, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, begging for it.
Yeah, I think so.
Good stuff. Thanks, Rich. Sandblasted into the back window of his car.
And it's like I said, I don't want to judge your personal habits. I'm just saying that when those personal habits do happen to be against the law, whether you agree with the law or not, it might not be the best idea to broadcast the whole thing.
And I can't remember who it was said everybody's prejudiced against something. I mean, probably. You don't like long hair.
You don't like tattoos. People who claim to be not prejudiced at all, still might be prejudiced against, say, a vagrant. You know,
true,
because they might think, oh wow, this guy looks
get
like
a
he's gonna
job.
Well, something
yeah.
like well, whatever
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily get a job, but you know, maybe not approaching them on the street and starting a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they still. I don't think they still. They don't still arrest people for vagrancy, do they? I mean,
I think that might be unconstitutional.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you legally have to be clean if you don't want to.
Or have money.
Well, yeah.
To be arrested as a vagrant, you got to have no money on you.
Something like that.
Yeah,
well, and those laws were very common years and years ago because essentially it gave you the right to get somebody off the street if they were simply causing any kind of a problem.
True. 9:45. KBOI News Time, 9:51. Let's go to the phones and Mike of Boise. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. I've been listening to some of the callers, and I've got some points here. I know how to solve all this.
Okay.
One is, you know, we hire our police officers from the human race.
Okay. So far, yeah.
So if we'd hire androids, it would take away that factor. And, of course, that is a joke.
Yeah. Where are we going to get these androids?
Well, they're coming, probably.
Yeah, they probably are.
And would they have a union?
Yes, they probably would, too. But you know, I go back to my early days in the 70s on patrol, and the license plate sticker, I wouldn't get out of my car for that, Chris, just so you know that.
I love like, that ticket,
well, to be fair, you weren't the one who pulled me over.
Yes, and... But in the 60s and 70s, they used to have a thing called a warning ticket. And when you'd pull somebody over for a taillight that was out, which obviously the individual didn't know the taillight was out, or the sticker was upside down, you'd give them a warning ticket. And what they did with that ticket is then they took it to a mechanic or wherever, and somebody would look and say, yeah, it's fixed. They'd sign it, and they'd mail it back to you. And if you didn't get it back in 15 days, then you could go ahead and issue them a regular citation, which I never had to do that because everybody looked at it and said, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But there are traffic enforcement officers out there, and their main job is to enforce traffic. and the law to the letter.
Yep.
And it used to be they would teach at the academy that when you pulled over a vehicle for a violation, that you have already made a decision that you're going to cite that individual. And I think, luckily, that has kind of gone away because you pull over an individual, they're speeding 10 miles over the speed limit, you pull them over, you get up, they're in tears, you go, what's the problem? They're trying to get to the hospital because their wife is in the hospital or something, or mother. You know, common sense needs to prevail out there. But, you know, common sense needs to prevail in everything we do in our life. But,
true.
again, we hire police officers out of the human race, and it's a judgment call lots of times. And it's when I've been on the stand a number of times, it's like, well, would have you done this if you would have known this? Well, the answer would probably, no, I wouldn't have done that. But in profiling, my days on Highway 21 on a Friday night, it was profiling. Every car was probably over the limit.
Yep.
Back in those days. You know what days I'm talking about.
I do know what days you're talking about, yeah.
And I just tried to make it down the highway without getting ran over myself. So anyway, but the Android thing, I think, is the way to go. But
only
anyway,
a matter of time.
Have a good morning.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
What was that movie where that cop was not really a cop? What's the name of that?
Wait, was it a TV? You mean like RoboCop?
RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
RoboCop.
He had been a human. He just got shot up and
wasn't much left.
Well, it was kind of like the $6 Million Man, only different and with better special effects.
And he walked funnier.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Bob of Boise says there was a time that marijuana stickers or any form of marijuana was called paraphernalia and was illegal all on its own. The stickers
were paraphernalia?
I don't know. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
He says, I don't know if that law still exists.
I know there's paraphernalia.
I thought paraphernalia was
pipes,
like bongs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, things like that. Yeah. That paper. So we didn't really start out to talk about
profiling today, an hour ago,
when you mentioned that.
Happened to mention it.
Yeah.
Well, I got called on something I said, and Senator Jim Rice was in here and talking about the bill that just passed that you can no longer profile someone just because they have on
motorcycle colors
or club colors or whatever you want to call them. And so I said, you know, I always wonder about the guys who have the marijuana stickers in the back window of their car. I wonder if they get pulled over a lot.
And a guy called and said, are you saying I'm stupid? And that started the whole thing.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time, 9:56. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, Minority Friday and Open Phones Friday coming up tomorrow right here.